welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham. And today, I'm deeply honored to have in the studio with me, Carrie-Anne Eiffel, President of the Barbados Council for the Disabled, and Christopher Jilts, the Public Relations Officer of the Barbados Council for the Disabled. And today, we're going to take a look at the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and their annual stakeholders meeting, which is convened every June at the United Nations headquarters in New York, USA, United States of America. So welcome to the program, Carrie-Anne and Christopher.
Thank you
welcome.
For having
us. It's a pleasure
us.
To be here.
Thank you. So let's start, Carrie-Anne, by asking you to explain to our listeners, what is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities?
That's a really good question today, Yudalee. This year, the United Nations is celebrating its 75th anniversary after the Declaration of Human Rights, where they basically got together after the World War, a set of countries, and decided these are what are the basic rights guaranteed to all human beings, irregardless of where you've come from. There are 191 countries connected to the United Nations to date. Over the years, they've developed various conventions on different things, Convention on Rights of Women, against torture, and those kinds of things. And one of the more recent ones would be the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. It is hard to accept, but it is the truth, that for a lot of persons, when you have a disability, we are considered lesser humans. And because of that reality, it was necessary for us to come up with the rights. The convention has 50 articles, which means subsections, that look at a variety of different aspects of life. Some are more relevant to some countries than others, but generally speaking, they're all realities that some of us have to deal with. So you have Article 24, for example, which speaks to the right to education that is tailored to the needs of the person with a disability, whether it's a child or an adult. Or Article 9 that speaks to the right to expect your country to raise awareness about disabilities and our specific challenges and issues. You have Article 13 that speaks to the right to access justice, equal recognition before the law. Because there are some people that because you have a disability, they don't see you on the same level as they are when it comes to the law courts. And there are others that go on and on, the right to live in the community, the right to political participation, the right to sports and leisure activities.
Health, and family, not life, just that we, employment.
Yes, employment. But it's not just saying that these are what you have the right to, but this is what you have the right to expect. And this is what states parties, which means the countries that have signed on, this is what they have agreed that they're going to provide. Now, what it doesn't mean is that immediately upon signing, that all of these things are going to come into fruition. It's not going to work that way. But these are the ideals that you are going to work towards.
Right. So this is a recent international instrument. I think it was established in 2006.
And it was open for adoption it came out in 2006 and it was opened up for ratification in 2007.
Right. So Barbados would have ratified this in 2013.
Yes.
What does it mean when we say ratify?
So you could sign it, which means that at some point you intend to bring these things into purpose. And that's what we did in 2007. And in 2013, we basically said that by ratifying, it means that we have agreed to be bound by these international standards. And that's what ratification basically means, that we are going to do all we can to bring it into law and bring it into reality. Signing just means that we agree that, you know, this is going to happen.
Okay, cool. So Barbados has ratified it. We have the United Nations Convention on Persons on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. But there's also another instrument that is not often talked about or discussed. And that is the shadow report that can be submitted by civil society organizations, NGOs. Explain again, how does this shadow report works?
Okay, well, first you got to go back to the report. Now, the report is every country that ratifies, you have to submit a report on what the status is of your country with regards to the various articles. What have you done? What haven't you done? There are several different levels you have to go through. So that is one. Now, once that report has been submitted, civil society can send in its report, because the first one submitted by the government. The civil society then submits its own report if it so wishes, and it doesn't have to be one entity. It could be several different entities within the country submits a report to say that's what the government says. So for example, let's say that government said they have been providing adequate health care to persons with disabilities. The shadow report may say provisions have been made to have health care, but the reality is that in the rural parts of our country, you know, getting to the healthcare facilities, getting a doctor to come up to my home has not been working. So that's what the shadow report is. Some say that it is the true report. Others say it's a thing, but the reality is the two of them work together to give a holistic view of what is actually going on in particular countries.
Okay, so Carrie-Anne, now, the United Nations hosts the State Party meeting every year in June. Mm-hmm. And you have attended several of them as representative of the Barbados Council for the Disabled. And this year, Christopher, I believe you attended for the first time. Now, I'm going to start with you, Carrie-Anne. Tell us what the past meetings were like compared to this year.
Well, first thing, this year was the 16th Conference of States Parties. That's its proper name. And they have done some reorganizing of the calendar. So this year they had a delegation. We had a government representation as well as a civil society presence. I attended in two capacities. In the capacity as the president of Barbados Council for the Disabled, and the council is accredited. Yes, we are an accredited NGO, which means that we are allowed to attend. Every NGO can't just turn up and go. And that's one. And I also was there in my other capacity as vice chair of the Commonwealth Disabled People Forum, because Barbados is part of the Commonwealth. So what was different this year? Well, we had the Civil Society Forum, which takes place the day before the conference. So the conference runs from Tuesday to Thursday of the given week. And the Civil Society Forum takes place the preceding day. Each country, the government delegation is invited. And this year, what I found different was the NGOs were also given the opportunity to make a statement. If you so wish, it's not an automatic thing. You have to register to be able to do that. So you're given 3 minutes where you get to state whatever it is you wish to say about your country and its work on persons with disabilities for them and so on. The NGOs, for example, the International Disabilities Alliance or the European Disabilities Forum, they get to make a presentation as well. So you have quite a few interventions. They're only 3 minutes long and it is rigidly enforced. They also had what they call sub-themes. This year, the sub-themes looked at digital accessibility, the sexual reproductive rights of persons living with disabilities, and the issue of underrepresented categories of disabilities. So for example, neurodiversity, so the autistic, the intellectually challenged, the deaf-blind community, the ones that you don't see in large numbers in every community. So there was a lot of emphasis on those particular areas and what's happening for persons with disabilities. So you had what they call roundtable discussions. There were three of them, and each one focused on one of those sub-themes. Then there were what we call side events. They are an hour to an hour and 15 minutes in duration. And they, a country, whether it's the government, an NGO, or whoever, they come together and they zone in on a particular area. It doesn't have to be one of the sub-themes, but those are sponsored individually. And Barbados participated in two of those. And that is the biggest thing that was new this year. We have never participated in the site events in that way. We've attended them, but we've never actually participated in the site events. So as a member of the Commonwealth Disabled People's Forum, we spoke at all three of the site events hosted by them, and the government, for which we're truly grateful, sponsored two of the three events. So Barbados was looming large at this year's conference.
Okay, great. So Christopher, as a young person, your first time participating, what was the experience like for you?
Well, for me, the experience was one of a kind, not only as a young person with a disability, but being able to hear different sides from different countries to see what they do to help and also to include persons with disabilities living in their different countries, because sometimes it helps us to build on our capacities to know what is happening outside of Barbados. And myself presenting at one of the side events, that opportunity, it was really heartwarming for me, being able to represent persons with disabilities, also to represent Barbados and Barbados Council for the Disabled.
Fabulous, fabulous. So what did you speak about, Christopher? And what were some of the main points you raised?
The topic that we looked at in one of the side events, that was around disabled youth involvement, awareness, empowerment, and leadership in DPOs, disabled people organizations across the Commonwealth. And I have spoken from a perspective of a person living with disabilities from these different points, where I spoke to empowerment, awareness, leadership, and involvement as a youth with a disability in Barbados. So I've spoken from what I've done then to where I'm at now in the different areas in representation.
And Christopher, would you say that young people with disabilities in Barbados are the driving force in the leadership of the disabled people's organizations?
Well, I can say yes, because we too have something to contribute to our society and to the country at large.
Okay. Would you like to see more young people getting involved with the organizations?
Yes, that is something that I would like to push for, to see other persons with disabilities from all walks of life being involved as young leaders within their respective areas, not only as the Caribbean, but as a society at the mark, because we have to be able to speak for what we want and be the voice.
Do you think that the older people are giving the youth as much support as needed?
Well, honestly, I can say yes and no to that, because the only way to see what a person can offer is giving them the opportunity. If you do not give them the opportunity, you won't be able to see what they can contribute. They're stepping aside a bit and allowing us to be the voice and produce things in a way that matters to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice, nice. So, Christopher, traveling up to New York, what was the accommodation like in terms of transport and just the whole logistics of going to United Nations headquarters and just being able to fit into the dynamics of the meeting?
Well, for me, the experience at that level was, I can say, quite comfortable, whereas I've made prior arrangements here before going to New York. So then a lot of stuff were in place in terms of rail transportation and being able to get around on those things.
Okay. So, Carrie-Anne, let's switch back now to the convention itself and what is required and expected of the states in honoring their ratification of the convention. What are some of the steps that the state or the government of the country must do?
Well, the first one is to have it enshrined in legislation within the country. That means bringing legislation that speaks specifically to the needs of persons with disabilities. Barbados is on the cusp of doing that with our legislation, and we've recently done a lot of work in that area. Now, sometimes we put the cart before the horse and we think that, okay, we need to get the legislation in order to get work done. But we've been doing a lot of amazing work in Barbados. And one of the things that I personally like or don't like, depending on the topic, about attending the conference, is you get to learn from other colleagues and you get to realize that disability is treated similarly all over the world. A lot of the issues we have here, we have in other countries. There are countries that you think, okay, this particular country, that's the first world, they wouldn't have these issues, but they do have a whole heap of the same challenges that we do. If they didn't, we wouldn't have had the convention in the first place. That being said, some of the other steps they have to take is to basically do an assessment of where are we? What does the country need to do to bring it more in line with what it said it's going to do by ratifying this convention? So that's another area that needs to be worked on as well. And most importantly, from my point of view, even beyond the legislation, beyond the infrastructural changes, beyond all of that, is integrating, being more inclusive in your approach. It is good to provide the accessibility necessities. It is great to raise awareness. But there's another thing entirely when you sit down with a person with a disability and the disability becomes secondary to the conversation. When I go to rent an apartment, if I go to purchase a home, when you're not looking at me and saying, but how is she going to manage, or he could pay the bills? That's not your concern. I remember meeting one person who said that the potential landlord said he wouldn't feel right taking money from a disabled person and wondering if they had funds to eat afterwards. If the person is looking for a home, they should be able to provide for themselves. I mean, there are a whole lot of issues, and that might seem like a triviality, but it's not. It really isn't your place to worry about whether I can eat afterwards. It is more a concern about covering my bills. It is about inclusion. It is about seeing the right of a woman with a disability to have children, to get married. When those things become secondary, it means that the awareness raising and the legislation and all of those things will fall into place. If we don't have that kind of respect going, then we run into a lot of problems. At least that's how I see it.
Okay, so now we understand that since Barbados ratified the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in 2013, there are certain steps that the government need to take. I believe one of them also, as you just pointed out, is getting the necessary type of legislation to be compliant with the articles in the convention, as well as to harmonize what is existing and what needs to come in the future. Another step is the establishment of a monitoring committee. Can you share what is the role of a monitoring committee?
The role of the monitoring committee is twofold. One, to see to the report that needs to go into the UN, not necessarily to write it themselves, but to cause it to be written and to evaluate it. And the second role is to keep their finger on the pulse of what's really going on in the country. For example, we say that every person with a disability has the right to adequate transportation, and the monitoring committee would be able to oversee, are these things really being put into place? Now, as time goes on, it's a national human rights body. Some countries have the ombudsman, others have their national human rights institution, whatever the iteration is of it. There are some countries that use those instead of having a specific monitoring committee. What it basically means is there needs to be an entity that oversees issues related to persons with disabilities and ensuring that the country is living up to its obligations. So for example, some time ago, the United Kingdom, they were not living up to their obligations. And so persons with disabilities, this is because it's another element that Barbados hasn't ratified as yet. A lot of countries haven't, and that's the optional protocol where persons can go straight to the UN and say, my country is not meeting the needs of persons with disabilities. So you don't have to go to your local monitoring committee. But in the place where we haven't done that, then you have an entity to which you can go to say, hey, these rights are not being fulfilled. So all of that is tied up in the work of the monitoring committee.
Excellent. And I think sometimes the average citizen is unaware of these type of steps that must be taken, and then will probably complain, oh, things are taking so long and you're moving so slowly and so on. But I think it is important that we continue to educate our listeners about what needs to happen and how it can be done and how they too can be involved in the process. So what would you say then to the general public, both you, Kerri-Ann, and Christopher, in terms of giving more support to the community of persons with disabilities?
I believe by empowering young persons with disabilities, we will be able to unlock their full potential and pave a way for them to become leaders in all aspects of life and in the society.
For me, what do I think people need to do? We need to be educated. And when I say educated, I'm not talking about academic education. For example, the Commonwealth Disabled People's Forum, we are about to launch our second training program, this one specifically targeting youth leaders across the globe. And I want to encourage our young people, go on the Commonwealth Disabled People's Forum website, get aware, find out what is going on. Everybody doesn't have to be an activist, but everybody should know what their rights are. And one of the best ways to do that is to do some research. Go on YouTube. Somebody calls it the newest university. Do those things. Be aware. No, Barbados may not have this today, but they have that. And other places, learn about what your rights are. And also learn that in the National United Society of the Blind, we say there's life after blindness. I expand that and say there is life with and without a disability. And we need to recognize that. We don't need to sit down and wait on what people give to us. We need to reach out and claim what is rightfully ours. And the only way you can know if it is yours is if you become educated about what is yours to take.
Well said, Christopher and Kerri-Ann. And I think that it really is imperative that people with disabilities make themselves more knowledgeable about what is happening, not only in their country, but particularly in the Caribbean and the wider world, so that we are able to give greater input to the conversations around disability, you know? So I think that's really, really essential. Well, time is winding up on us, Kerri-Ann and Christopher. Any parting words you want to share?
Well, I want to keep encouraging persons with disabilities and our wider society to be more compassionate, and let's work together to make Barbados more inclusive so that we all can live as one.
Kerri-Ann?
I would like to say thank you, Yudeli, for the work that you do. You are one of the most powerful advocates for disabilities in Barbados. And I have always been very in awe of you, your energy and your passion. And I said all of that not just to make you smile, but I said that because we need more of you. We need more persons who are willing to get out there and do what you've been doing for all of these years, empowering, uplifting, and encouraging persons with disabilities. That's what I try to do. I try to emulate your zeal, your steadfastness, your support, and I want to encourage others to do the same.
Well, thank you both, Christopher and Kerri-Ann, and you make me smile, so I appreciate that. Thank you very much for your kind words. And I also want to say hats off to both of you, because all of us, in our own style, do lead and do empower and encourage. So I want to also encourage both of you to continue the work that you are doing. And it really has been a pleasure chatting with you today as we learned a bit more about the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And as you correctly said, both of you, please, listeners, do some research. Go online and Google. Search for the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and look and see what the articles are saying, what they mean for persons with disabilities and, by extension, the families. And what can you, as an individual, what can you do as part of a collective group, whether it's a service club like the Rotary, the Kiwanis, the Lions Club, you know, any of these service groups can do to continue more education and create the atmosphere, build a culture of inclusiveness for people with disabilities. So thanks again, Kerri-Ann and Chris. And listeners, I will be listening out for your feedback. So until next week, do take excellent care of yourself. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham, and my special guests today, Kerri-Ann Eiffel and Christopher Jiltz of the Barbados Council for the Disabled. You can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or via STARCOM 1-246-430-7300, and you can email me visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Take care.